the waist up. How's that for a personal picture? Okay, not the joke. One day, Rav was in the Beis HaMedrash. He walked up to the Aron HaKodesh and started saying, "Ni offer ve'efer, ni offer ve'efer." He was going on, you know, he was doing Musar with himself. 2 minutes later, Shamash came in. He saw the Rav doing that. So he thought that's a good idea. So he walked up to the Aron HaKodesh and stood next to the Rav. And he also started saying, "Ani offer ve'efer, ani offer ve'efer." A few minutes after that, one of the Balabatim walked in, took a look. He sees the Rav and he sees the Shamish up in front of the Aron HaKodesh doing this, "Ani offer ve'efer." So he says, "I'm going to do that too." So he walks up to the Aron HaKodesh and he stands next to him and he goes, "Ani offer ve'efer, ani offer ve'efer." At that point, the Shamash gives a little shove to the Rav and he says to him, "Look who thinks he's an Anav." Okay, we now will start. If you take a look at the Pasuk, Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, one of the most delicious pesukim you could possibly read. It would probably take you the rest of your life to do all the research. I did hours of research, so I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at you, but it pays to look at the source itself so you can form some of your own thoughts. The Pasuk says, "Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Panei Ha'adama." That's quite an extreme statement and praise. What we find is, I never noticed this before till this year. If you take a look at the Tirgum Yonatan ben Uziel, listen to the words carefully. "Begavra Moshe in v'son bedaite." Notice it added a word in. He was an anav in his own das, in his own mind, and we're going to make a big issue about this. "Lachada ma'od min kol b'nei nasha," from amongst all people, "da al anpe ara," that live on earth, "velo chash li mi lehon." That's not in the pasuk, but look at Rav Yonatan ben Uziel adding in these extra words and expanding on the principle, and it's that tight, as we're going to expand on. And he didn't, like, as if pay attention to what they were saying. Now, everybody knows, and I'm going to repeat this a couple of times throughout what we're talking about. Anava has the great danger of a false practice of it, just like that balabas, where we sometimes try and hold ourselves, "I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm an Anav." That's almost, you're being Anav because you realize you're not him. Well, I don't know about that. You know something? There's a sure thing. Moshe knew exactly who he was. That's very important. You don't lie to yourself about who you are. That's really false behavior. And non-truth will never serve you well in that situation. And to continue the theme I've been doing since I first started doing this with you gentlemen, what we're looking for is a level of consciousness which can observe your own state of mind and what will bring you to be able to practice that in a very conscious way. So let's take off. That's the Rav Yonatan ben Uziel. Now, the interesting thing is, in the, you know, the brown chumash, those beautiful ones after the red chumashim or the blue ones, whatever one you have, of the Mikros Gedolos, the person who wrote the Biur got it. He says, "An v'son v'daitei l'chada." He was very humble in his own opinion about himself. In other words, in his das, his consciousness. Look at the Sifri, which we're going to do a little later, because I'm just going to quote it now, but I'm going to explain it later. The Sifri says he was anav b'dayto atalmer. Was it in his das that he was an anav? Or anav b'gufo? Or was he an anav in his body? Talmud Lomar, whatever it says, and I'm going to quote it in a minute. Davar acher, anav ma'od, anav b'dayto atalmer, anav b'dayto o anav b'memono. Talmud Lomar, what we're going to see. Now he, lovely, and I found this myself before I even saw him. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, I knew to look. You start to get a feel of where you're going to find stuff when you learn. It's not just a matter of like you're a little library or something like that. You get a feel for where things probably are going to sit. And if you get that skill tuned up, you will find stuff right there and go, I can't believe it. Cassava Kabbalah. You know who's a very big fan of the Cassava Kabbalah in the yeshiva? Rav Sender. Sender. Am I saying the name right? I've been in the house too long. Say?
Yeah, Rabbi Sender.
Rabbi Sender. Good. Thank you. Okay. This I have an old copy of the book, and it says he was anav ma'od, lo mi gufo, ki im mi daito. Because there are a number of physical reasons which can cause a person to get bent over, humbled, as if to say. Life itself tends to humble a person. The Hebrew words are not synonymous. Kenia, like being bent over, and shiftless, a kind of like feeling of lowliness to a certain degree. For instance, if a person has physical weakness in his body because maybe he has some sickness or some emotional state of being where he feels kind of down, or chalishas harkavto, things don't feel quite right put together. He's not like on his best game. To the degree where he might find himself having to come on to other human beings. And that's like kind of feeling less than. And these things can sadden a person, and they can break his heart and really bend him over. But this was not true about Moshe Rabbeinu. Dafka mi daito, according to his das and according to his rutzon, it was a free choice that he made actively. He chose to be an anav. Not to get a gold star from the teacher. He reasoned out and saw that this was the proper position for a human being. And even though his own good qualities were not apparent to him, once again, he knew exactly who he was. In fact, if you don't know exactly who you are, you will fool yourself. If you're not an Ish MS and can be honest in looking at yourself, uh-oh, there we get the theme right there. You've got to stand outside yourself and be able to look at yourself honestly. Then you have a shot at it. He knew very well that he was the father for all wise men and for all Nevi'im. But with all that, when he realized people weren't necessarily holding at the same place he was, but they were very, this is the part which completely grabbed my heart, and I was not surprised to find this. Other people were important in his eyes. And what he did actively was he let all his own milas, amazing and wonderful things, be pushed to the side. Not that he didn't say that he had them, but it was not his focus. And what did he look to do? This owned me. Write this next phrase. He looked how he could do good kindness to all those around him. Now, if there's a problem with anava, when you don't have it, it's a focus on yourself. Here's the sure cure. Look to do chesed to others. That gets the focus off you and on them. And every single neshama in Klal Yisrael was dear to him. It says even dearer than his own soul to himself. And he was even willing to be erased from the Torah in order to save the Jews. Mecheni na mi-sifrecha. That's what he said to Hashem, erase me. And no one else had ever reached this level. And this is what the Torah is testifying to about Moshe, that no one equaled him in the Midah of Anava. That's where I'm going to stop. It goes on. What's the, how come sometimes they call him Ish, Elohim? Sometimes they call him, right, Adam? That's a whole other part of the story. That's where I'm stopping with the Kassava Kabbalah. I will now proceed. A set of different takes on the Pasuk, and I will tell you the source. A bunch of them are from the Emek Davar, or I think these are the same book, so please correct me if I'm wrong. Hold on one second. The Emek HaNetziv. Now, the Netziv wrote the Emek Davar, but are those two different books? Does anybody know? No answer. Okay, don't worry about it. Let me put in front of you, according to my menu, the things that emerge from this. Oh, yeah. Can I have 5 extra minutes? Can I or not? Or something? Okay, good. The man Moshe was unowed. Rashi explains, this is where Rashi was so sparse, you go, what did he add to the situation? It's a little bit hard to know. So the big Rashi, Moshe the Anav. He says, what's Anav? Shafel v'Savlan. Yeah, those sound like the famous synonyms for an Anav. He was not choshes for his own kavod or negativity that happened to him. And it's once again, it's not because he didn't know who he was. Anav means he behaves. Now this is my take on this idea. He had no chashash for his own kavod. In other words, it wasn't just a state of mind, a way of viewing himself, but it was in practice. He had to do something about it, and we're going to talk about one of the manifestations of how that might look. I could go on for an hour here. I'm going to have to actually cut off a whole lot of other stuff I prepared. That's what happens if you prepare a lot. So it's not just a state of mind, but also a behavior. You know the famous Gemara, one of my most favorite Gemaras from 40 years ago. There was a Beis HaMedrash session at the end of Masechet Sota. They said when this Tana died, Chesed went out of the world. When this one died, this went out of the world. Are some of you familiar with that? He made his next announcement. He says, when this one died, another went out of the world. At which point, Rav Yossi says, no, I'm still here. There's still another in the world. And of course, that threatens to be an oxymoron. How can you go and say you're an Anav? What are you doing in front? And he announced it in front of everybody. But it was just the truth. The absolute truth. He knew. It said when Rava died, that another went out of the world. But he knew he was on the same level. And his practice was that all the years that he had left in his life, he didn't want to act in a haughty way. And when he needed a craftsman to fix something for him, he didn't have the craftsman brought to his house to do the work. He would go to the craftsman. Just an example. Now, just let me read to you quickly the Hold on one second, because I'm skipping stuff and I don't want to lose any of the points. Hold on. I'm just deciding what to cut out. This contrast, which is also in the Sifri, is a Gemara in Chulin, Peites. Omar Rab, because what it said in the Sifri was, he was more on a, there's a machlokas in the Sifri. The Tanakhama says, Mikol Adam Asher Al Panei Al Adama, but not people who are not alive anymore, not the Avos. In other words, according to the Tanakhama's position, it means people who are still existing right now. So therefore, it would have excluded the Avos because there was nobody as great as the Avos according to the Tanakhama. Rav Yossi said, even from the Avos. So when it said he was the most unav, it's saying, but it's just coming to exclude the Malachi Ashares, who have no Yetzer Hara. And they're in Hashem's presence all the time. How could there not be an Anav in that particular position? So in the Gemara Chulin, it says, Rabbi says, or it could be Rabbi Yochanan, greater is what Moshe and Aaron said more than what Avraham said. Because by Avraham it says, this is the joke I made at the beginning, Ani Ofer Ve'efer. While when it came to Moshe and Aaron, they said, Anachnu ma. Abraham was at least offer of the Afer in his own eyes. Aaron and Moshe expressed it as, are we anything? I will now go to the end of the piece that I put all this work in just for this end thing. In order to practice this with Chachma, and honestly, what we find is an extremely interesting Medrash Tanchuma. It says, Va'ish Moshe, this is by the way in Parshat Tzav, number 13, at least in the old Medrash Tanchumas. It's not in Parshat Baaloscha, even though that's where our Pasuk is. Va'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od. Anav, here it comes again, Shafel Besavlan, Bavar Acher. Anav ma'od miloshon one, answering, responding, kolomar, if he would hear something and he had something to answer about it, he would. That's not exactly expected behavior on the part of an anav. Let's say somebody is putting you down doing this, you let it go. That's the ultimate of on a shafel v'sablan. But what we find is a very interesting possibility, which brings honesty to an even greater level, and you can watch yourself honestly think about what's happening in X and Y situations from the position of wherever you're holding an anivus from there. Like I just quoted, if he would hear something that he felt he should respond with, lichora, that's counterintuitive. So if somebody answers back someone who's saying something not nice to him, according to our definition of anava, that's exactly where you have shtika. You shut up. Take it and bear it. We don't need you to answer. But here's where the honesty even grows to a greater level. This is a human being thinking and thinking about what is best practice. What's the greatest threat at that moment? It's easy to be a shatkan. You shut up, bend your head, turn the other cheek, let it go. But then what are people going to say that are looking at the situation? Wow. I can't believe what an un of the guy is. Moshe didn't let that go. He went and answered something, not cursing back at the guy or something, chas v'shalom, to make sure that he didn't get misaffected by the people seeing him behave with complete quietness and then hold him as an anav. You know how threatening that is? Oh, boy, oh, boy, are you an anav. I'm exaggerating, but that's exactly the perfect balance where you're so conscious of the state of being at that place, you can even do something which is counterintuitive in order to keep yourself from falling off the horse and keeping balance so you don't start to think, see, I was quiet. Uh-oh, right there's a problem. That's what I came to share with you. That's the ultimate balance. You cannot pull that off without being aware of what you're thinking when you're thinking it and being aware of the situation around you. That's true anava. A friend of mine who learned a lot of Kabbalah said the great quality of Moshe was that he could see Hashem where no one else could see him. If you were seeing Hashem literally everywhere, would you be a gaivan? It would feel like it's impossible. But that's the state he brought himself to. I wish you luck. I wish myself luck. Thank you.
Yeshakov.